Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for the Christophers, and today, 9-time Grammy nominee Matt Maher will be sharing some music from his first ever Christmas album called The Advent of Christmas, and he'll also talk about his children's book that he's written to teach kids about the Advent season. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and tis the season for Christmas music, so my guest today is singer-songwriter Matt Maher. Matt has had a lot of hits on the Christian music charts with songs like Lord, I Need You and Because He Lives. But now he's released his first ever holiday album called The Advent of Christmas, and it's filled with original songs and a few old favorites. In addition, Matt has written a children's book also called The Advent of Christmas to help kids spiritually prepare for the holiday. Before I talk with Matt about these projects, I want to share a clip from The Advent of Christmas. This is Matt Maher with Glory, Let There Be Peace.
One star burns in the darkness, shines with a promise, Emmanuel. One child born in the stillness, living within us, Emmanuel. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace, let there be peace. We're singing glory, glory. Let there be peace, let it start in me.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up, and we just heard a clip of the song Glory, Let There Be Peace from Matt Maher's album, The Advent of Christmas. And I'm happy to welcome Matt back to the show today to talk about the album. Matt, it's great to have you back on the show again.
Thanks for having me, Tony.
Now, you've been recording music for over 10 years, but this is your first Christmas album. What motivated you to create what's really this wonderful mixture of old favorites and original songs?
You know, I think some of it was just the right season and the right timing. And I think also the fact of my dad passing away last year, and this last Christmas being the first Christmas that I went through without him being around.
Yeah.
I kind of probably early in the fall started to get a sense of, oh, maybe I'll make a Christmas record, you know. And then when the Advent season came around, I think got inspired by that. And then also by, you know, being home with my family, and I have three little kids, and seeing, you know, kind of experiencing the season through them and the wonder, you know, and their innocence about it. It was very, very inspiring.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it's really one of the best tracks on the album is When I Think of Christmas. And it kind of goes with what you just said about the passing of your father, because there's a line in there about missing those no longer with us. But the rest of the song is really about appreciating the people, the sights and sounds of the season now. How did you deal with that, the joy mixing with the sorrow of loss during the holiday season last year?
Well, I think, you know, that Christmas is the one time of year where we kind of take all of our best memories of the past and bring them to the present and to evaluate the present. And it's hard because, you know, the present can never live up to the past, or the past can never live up to the present, you know, depending on which side of the coin you're on. And I think because Christmas is probably the most nostalgic time of year now that we have, for a multitude of reasons. It isn't just the sentimentality of Hallmark, you know, movies and, you know, Bing Crosby crooning on our stereo systems, or, people getting up and getting dressed and going to church the one time a year that they sometimes even go.
Yeah.
You know, that's not what it is. I think in some ways what it is, I think it's, you know, it's homesickness in a way.
Yeah.
And all of those things, they think it's this one time a year where our souls are just kind of like reminded of how much we long for God.
Yeah, that God-shaped hole in all of us, yeah.
Yeah, you know, and I think it, all of those things, while they're great and they're good, they're not meant to satisfy the deeper longings in the human heart, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And it just comes down to God and people, you know, God and relationships are the things that really are meant to, really meant to be meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And usually Christmas is a time of year that reminds us of when relationships have fallen short in whatever capacity.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think, you know, the ability isn't so much like, can Christmas just drown out all the painful memories and pretend they don't exist? And it's more so, can we learn to let God reconcile those things so that we can miss the ones that we love,
mm-hmm.
And experience kind of the bittersweet nature of the season and not run from it anymore. But also realize that the joy that's found is greater and can still be experienced even in the midst of heartache.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm talking to Matt Marr about his album, The Advent of Christmas. His website is mattmarrmusic.com. And you just mentioned the word joy. And one of the things that I loved about the album is that it does have its songs that remind us of, you know, the real reason for the season, the birth of Jesus. But even those songs, the music in many cases is also just fun, from your jazzy version of Jingle Bells to what I thought it was kind of like a Gaelic country feel to Hark the Herald Angels Sing. How did your creative instincts guide you in making this album?
You know, I think they just kind of ideas come and I mean, for me, I didn't belabor it too much, mm-hmm. as much as sort of like, hey, does this sound meaningful to me, or does this feel right?
Yeah.
You know, I think so much of music is not calculated.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bit of chaos in the creativity of it, but in that moment of like sort of that of creative spark, there's this sense of like, you know, the good, true, and the beautiful, and the sense of like, oh yeah, we're onto something, and
mm-hmm.
you immediately get a sense of it. And I've just learned, I think, in music to trust that instinct and to know that in some ways, you know, that's the spirit of God breathing on creativity, I guess.
Sure, sure.
So,
no.
You know, yeah, I mean, Jingle Bells was, I had this idea of, you know, kind of a New Orleans meets West Texas swing.
Yeah.
I was a jazz major in college.
Mm-hmm.
Hark the Herald. I grew up in Newfoundland, Canada. So I wanted it to sound like a pub.
It does.
And it was kind of like that in some ways. It was a way of musically documenting parts of my life,
mm-hmm.
in some way.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful album, and like I said, it's just fun. But there's also the more meaningful songs, and there's one you've got on there called "Hope for Everyone." And I was thinking, how relevant that idea is in an age where people are suffering from hopelessness and depression. I mean, we see what's going on in the world around us. In what ways do you think, either, you know, this track "Hope for Everyone," but also just the season of Advent and Christmas, how can this help us reconnect with our sense of hope in the world?
I think at the heart of Advent is this sense of anticipation and the sense of waiting,
mm-hmm.
longing. And it's not all, you know, I think that sense of waiting and that sense of longing, it goes through a lot of different emotions with it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is, you know, we do have feelings of anxiousness. You know, we do have feelings of peace. We do have feelings of joy. We do have feelings of busyness. You know, I heard someone once say, if you're up all night because you're worried, you know how to meditate. You just need to change the subject.
It's clever.
And so I think it's that spiritual sense of like reminding people, hey, you know how to wait. You know how to wait for something.
Mm-hmm.
And waiting isn't just like, you know, depriving yourself of, you know, Christmas music for the 4 weeks before Christmas, because
yeah.
it's, you know, especially in the day and age in which we live now, you know, it's really difficult, but it's sort of like, what are the deeper things that you're hoping for? What are the deeper things that you're longing for in your life, like in your family's life, you know, in the world? And how can we be reminded that Jesus was born, you know, in the dark, outside on the fringes, and he was born, you know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus at the darkest time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we choose to celebrate the light of the world, you know, coming into the world.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, on purpose. And I know it's on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's to remind people that God, it's okay to have expectation and hope for God to show up in dark times, because that's what he was born to do.
Yeah. I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to Matt Maher about his album, The Advent of Christmas. And I want to touch on the song we heard at the beginning of this, Glory, Let There Be Peace, because there's a line in there that reminds us that peace can start with each of us. And it's an idea, I think, that echoes, no pun intended, your song Clean Heart on your album echoes. And it's a message we need to be reminded of. What did you want to get across with that song, Glory, Let There Be Peace?
I think just that... you know, the angels come to announce the birth of Jesus, and they sing this amazing song of praise that, you know, I heard this great, or read this great homily from, I think it was Pope Benedict, who said that at Christmas, all of heaven rejoices and sings with the earth, and it's a song that they've been waiting to sing since the dawn of creation.
Beautiful.
Which is just such a amazing thought. So I think when the angels announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, and you know, kept announcing that, it's just, and singing that song, and you know, to me it's like there would be a, I wonder if there would be a combination of, you know, I know that there was fear, because over and over again when angels appear, they keep telling people, don't be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, but the notion of you know, the longing for peace that we long for in the world today, it's not going to start, you know,
with the
other material plane and just descend upon everybody. It's going to start in the individual human hearts asking for it.
Yeah.
Every great spiritual moment of renewal in the history of Christianity, it starts with one person.
Mm-hmm. I'm Tony Rossi, and you're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'll be back with more of my conversation with Matt Maher after a message from the Christophers. But to play us into our break, here is Matt with Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy mild.
Father James Keller founded the Christophers. He chose the organization's name because it means Christ bearers in Greek. He wanted to encourage everyone to discover their God-given talents, combine their faith with action, and change the world for the better. For ideas on how you can be a Christ bearer in your own life, the Christophers have prepared a news note called Being a Christopher. It's filled with quotes and insights from Father Keller himself, who once explained, "The presence of even one Christopher in any environment is a blessing, a channel of grace, and a step in the right direction. It's like a tiny pinpoint of light that is greater than the encircling darkness." To request your free copy of Being a Christopher, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
Welcome back to Christopher Close Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and I'm talking today with singer-songwriter Matt Maher about his album and his children's book, both titled The Advent of Christmas. Before we get back to our conversation, here's another clip from the album. This is Matt Maher with When I Think of Christmas.
Great!
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and that was a clip from Matt Marr's album, The Advent of Christmas. And now here is more of my conversation with Matt. I want to ask another question about the album, because you have on the album notes, you reference a red cardinal that kept showing up during the making of the record. Why did the sight of that red bird for you, what did it do for you either creatively or spiritually?
Well, it made me very inquisitive at first, because I was like, why is this happening? So then I had to go look it up, you know, and I think that's one of the things I love about being Catholic is, you know, I wouldn't say we're more prone to see signs, but we're more prone to look for signs and things.
Symbols,
you know, and
yeah.
Not that you don't need it. I mean, you know, we have the scriptures and we have the teachings of the church and, you know, we have the Holy Spirit, but when a red cardinal keeps showing up and you've never really seen those in your life, because mm-hmm. growing up in Newfoundland, we didn't really see a lot of them.
Yeah.
So I was like, gosh, that's such a pretty bird. And then I was like, I Googled red cardinal Christian symbolism, and it was said, if you keep seeing a red cardinal, it's a sign that someone you love is praying for you.
Mm, okay.
And immediately I just thought, oh, Dad.
Yeah.
And it was when I was, you know, in particular, it was the two last songs on the record, or the Love Came Down to Bethlehem and When I Think of Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my dad loved those melancholic Christmas songs, and my dad loved Christmas, and yeah. I think part of him did love the bittersweet nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
He's Irish, so it's just,
yeah.
you know, the Irish love a good cry, I guess.
Sure,
And so I think as soon as I saw that cardinal, I just knew, oh, my dad's praying for me.
That's
with
great.
This record.
That's great. That is a wonderful symbol, and it must be just reassuring. I mean, that alone, I think, could give you just that little extra sense of joy amidst the loss and during the holiday season.
Oh, huge. And just like a real, like, an encouragement of, like, keep going, keep doing this,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it was a hard record to make. It took a long time, and yeah, I'm really happy with how it turned out.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful album, and I'm talking to Matt Marr. The album is The Advent of Christmas, and he also has a children's book with the same title. Now, Matt, which came first, the album or the children's book?
Oh, definitely the album. I'm not a book author by trade. You know, for me, it was really, we were going through the season of Advent, and a story time is... it's just a very intimate time when you're putting your kids down to bed and it's at the end of the day and you really get a chance to connect with them
mm-hmm.
just one-on-one. And I love when I'm home, I always help. I love doing bedtime because it's really my chance to just be with my kids and not have any distractions. And they all love reading stories.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I mean, that's how the faith was transmitted for the first, you know, a couple of hundred years, just people telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
So it, for me, I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could write a story about Advent?
Mm-hmm.
And also that a lot of people who are parents who like my music over the years, they've said, I'm sorry. Well, you know, I apologize because they're like, my kid won't let me listen to anything else in my car but your music. So I just thought, well, you know, maybe if I write a story that is the words kind of come from song lyrics throughout the record,
mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll help, you know, it'll help break open the season a little bit more for parents and their kids and kind of, you know, because kids ask questions.
Yeah.
So they're going to go, what does Advent mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, it's a word that means arrival. Well, who's arriving? Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's simple conversations and simple questions. And, you know, this stuff is supposed to be simple enough that a child can get it.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus said.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to me, it's really, the book becomes a way for parents to re-embrace the season like a child.
Yeah. Yeah. I know it's a great way to introduce, like you just said, the season to kids. And I'm curious, has being a parent, did it change or transform your experience of Advent and Christmas? Did it give you like new insight into, say, what Mary and Joseph went through?
I'm sure. Yeah. It definitely, I mean, first and foremost, I would say that my, the seeing the wonder and the sense of mystery or magic in my children
mm-hmm.
definitely helped I think, rekindle my own.
Okay.
You know, I think in terms of the Holy Family, you know, on Christmas Eve 2 years ago, I remember, or 3 years ago now, my oldest son was up in the sanctuary with all the kids during the homily and then started to tell the pastor how we needed to get the Avengers to help rescue baby Jesus in front of the whole congregation. So that was something. And, you know, I think there is this sense of, you know, when you have a child and you're around for childbirth and labor, it's work and it's effort. Pregnancy, and you know, I've never been pregnant, but
sure.
I've been around my wife, and mm-hmm. it's a labor of love.
Yeah.
And it pushes you and it stretches you. And I would tend to think if, you know, when my wife was close to full term in her pregnancy, all of a sudden we had to go on a road trip for a census, that would be pretty stressful.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, so I think there's definitely small insights into, you know, the sense of, I think for my wife and I, having kids reorients your sense of mission
mm-hmm.
and your understanding of the church. You know, I think when I was younger and I was more single, I was in love with the church and all its different faculties, you know, or facilities. The church is the institution, church is the people of God, the church mm-hmm. is missionaries, the church is, but then all of a sudden it's like when you have a child, you really, I think, are confronted with the reality of the domestic church
mm-hmm.
and, you know, this sense of how do I pass on this faith to my kids?
Yeah.
And that really, when it comes to Christianity now, like that, I think about that more than I think about my songs. I think about that more than I think about anything else because, mm-hmm. You know, I've chosen to link my salvation to it.
Yeah.
By getting married.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, so I think, and I'm very fortunate to have a wife who, even though she isn't Catholic, understands the commitment, like, to raising your kids that way and is super committed. She, we started a mass on Sunday nights, we begged the pastor to at our parish.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, she takes my kids to mass every week when I'm not even around.
Wow. That's great.
So it's just that sense of, I think you do get, with kids, you get rooted in the reality of the domestic church and your Christianity becomes small again in a healthy way.
Yeah. No, that's beautifully said. And I just think also from what you said about the Avengers thing earlier, your kids teach you to have a sense of humor about life too.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And they blow up your, you know, your sense of piety or, you know, I mean, my wife was like mortified.
It's kind of funny hearing about it, so.
Yeah, I know. I was like, yeah, we'll laugh about this years from now.
I'm talking to Matt Marr. His album is The Advent of Christmas. He also has a children's book we've been talking about called The Advent of Christmas. Before we wrap, I just want to touch on one other thing, because Christmas is a giving time of year, and I know you support a charity called Food for the Hungry. Just tell us a little bit about how you got involved with Food for the Hungry and how they're making a difference in people's lives.
Yeah, I've been working with a bunch of different organizations that do relief work in poverty-stricken countries around the world. And kind of the way in which they work with people is through child sponsorship. And Food for the Hungry is an organization that was started in 1971. It's an ecumenical organization that was founded by Larry Ward. And basically they went to some of the most poverty-stricken areas of the world and saw that, you know, children were malnourished. There was a lack of clean water, diversified agriculture, no infrastructure, no community development, you know, no nutritional counseling for mothers, no community leadership. And what they started to do was kind of a multi-year program of sustainable development, which is they go into a community and basically teach a community how to survive. I went to Guatemala in May with them. You know, Guatemala is a country where the average middle-class worker earns $2,700 a year.
Wow.
So I was there and I saw a community that they've been working with for 10 years and it was amazing. There was this, it happened to be a Catholic community of probably 15 to 20 families living literally in an area where there's no infrastructure, there's no power, there's no water. It's 5 hours away from Guatemala City, literally in the mountains. Mm-hmm. And a Spanish mission had built a church for them, and the community over the span of 10 years were basically, they had six different places they were growing crops. The kids were going to school. Mothers were coming together and helping each other do things like a pediatrician would normally do, like weigh your child, mm-hmm. You know, talk about rotating your child's diet. It's just, you know, very, very basic things. And the women had come together and they'd formed a bank, and they were doing microfinancing of loans for people who were working on different projects.
Yeah, that's great.
The community came together and they actually built a Sunday school. They built like an atrium onto the side of their mission church so they could teach the kids Sunday school. So, you know, and not only that, but the community was so self-sustaining now that they were actually sponsoring kids. So the way they do all this work is they basically pair up with people in first world countries who can sponsor children for $38 a month.
Okay.
It's holistic, you know, work that considers the dignity of the whole person. Food for the Hungry is all over the world, and they're doing amazing work, but in order for them to keep doing their work, they really just need to, you know, and I think it goes to the heart of Catholic social teaching of, we want programs and a philosophy that links the wealthy and the poor.
Mm-hmm.
Because poverty is an issue that affects us all, because as Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think in serving the materially poor, we come to remember our own spiritual poverty.
Yeah. No, that's beautifully said. And I want to give their website for Food for the Hungry. It's fh.org. Pretty simple to remember. fh.org.
Yep.
And I've been talking to Matt Marr. He's got an album and a children's book called The Advent of Christmas. His website is mattmarrmusic.com. And like I said earlier, it's a fun album. It's a meaningful album. And if you want to teach your kids about Advent, this is also the perfect book to read. So, Matt, thanks so much for writing the book, making the album, and talking about them both today.
Thank you, brother.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineer for today's show is Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.